Next up, though, I want you to meet Richard Gordon. Now, Richard is a very interesting man. He is from Tralee originally, and recently he has brought out a memoir about the grief he experienced when he lost his entire immediate family. Now, there was only four of them in the family, him and his older brother and his mum and dad, but all three of them, would you believe, passed away one after the other within the space of 4.5 years. And you can imagine the profound impact this had on Richard as a young man in his 20s. But he got out of the funk he found himself in after a certain period of time, got his life back on track. And now he has brought out a memoir as an audiobook about that passage through the most unimaginable grief. And the memoir is called Memory Town. And I spoke to Richard earlier on and he told me a little bit of his story.
So my upbringing was a really good upbringing. It was a beautiful 90s Tralee childhood. And things started to get a little bit shaky in my teenage years. I drifted. I became a wayward teenager, a bit of a pain in the neck. And my parents started to drift. And then eventually my parents separated when I left school. And things deteriorated quite badly after that. My mother insisted on leaving the home. And my father was left alone in the home. And he was a very old school man, tough as boots. And he wasn't the kind of fella to reach out and speak about his emotions or process anything. So he became very internalized and he suffered badly, and he was found in he died in his sleep. Yeah, he was 59.
Very young.
Yeah, very young. Yeah, he had a heart attack in his sleep. So yeah.
And then that was when you were 20, and then
I was 20.
A few years later your mom passed away.
Well, it was my brother that passed away.
Oh, sorry, your brother was next.
2 years after that. Yes. So I took off running. I left Tralee when I was 20, and because things weren't going well, and I wanted to escape. I was trying to find some sort of path, some sort of direction, because in my teenage years, my footballing fell apart, my school fell apart, and they kind of kept me balanced. But I lost all that balance. So at the age of 20, I ran away and I decided to become a chef. So I was attempting to do that. Meanwhile, my brother was left behind in Tralee. And
was he younger?
He was older, 3 years older.
Okay.
Yeah, and he was struggling himself. My father was kind of like the solid block. He was like a human boulder, a very strong man, never showed any weakness, to his detriment. But he provided that secure influence for my mother and my brother. And when he left, my brother suffered a lot, and my mother was had been suffering for many years. And he took his own life at the age. Yeah, he was 25. I was 22.
And what was his name?
His name was Chris. Christopher Gordon.
Okay.
Yeah, he went to the Gael Colosh then. He was known as Chris Thor and Scolvi Gasman.
Were you abroad when that happened?
No, I was up in, where was I? I was in Galway.
Okay.
Yeah, I was in Galway. So I came down and life had completely turned upside down. And and then it was me and my mother. And my mother had been slowly deteriorating from when I was about the age of 15 or 16, and we could never really pin down what it was that was kind of wrong with her. She became very dependent on medication. She's, the loss of my father created huge insecurity, and then the loss of my brother just kind of, it kind of signaled the end of days for my mother a bit. And I was completely lost. I was lost. I didn't know where to go, and I didn't know what to do, and I didn't know who to turn to.
And you were how old when she passed away?
I was 25 when she passed away.
Okay, so your entire family unit is gone within the space of how many years?
Yeah, 4.5 years.
Yeah, so there was a family of four, and then there was just you.
There was a family of four, and then there was just me. I have other extended family, but out of that family of four, yes, it was just me.
That's extraordinary, Richard. I mean, most of us struggle to cope with one death of a close relative, but I can't imagine how you got through all of that.
Yeah, it still surprises me now, to be honest. I still can't really get my head around it. It's still unbelievable that it happened to me. It's that kind of thing that you never imagine what is going to happen, and then it happens. I didn't cope very well with it for a couple of years. I just decided to run. I didn't really have anybody to turn to. I didn't have any mentorship or guidance or advisors. I didn't have any relationship at the time with aunties or uncles, or I had no grandparents, no parents, no older brother. So I just ran. That was the only thing I knew. Thing I knew how to do.
Do you mean actual running, or you ran
I ran to Australia. I changed jobs all the time. I was in London, and I wanted to get on my bike and cycle around the world. That was actually my solution to this problem, because I couldn't face turning around and addressing my past. And that was my kind of delusional solution that I came up with when I was like 27, 28.
And I'm sure you didn't want to stay in Tralee, which was probably full of all your childhood memories.
Yeah, completely. My relationship with Tralee totally changed. That's why the name of the memoir is Memory Town, because Tralee was once my hometown, and then it just, the home was kind of completely removed and it became my memory town. So it's... yeah, it's strange being back here. But yeah, living in Tralee stopped being an option after all of that stuff happened.
You just couldn't face all those memories, I'm sure.
No, I couldn't. But slowly, that changed, and I reached out for help, and I started to do the things that needed to be done. So when I was in London, I finally kind of collapsed under the weight of my own grief, I suppose you would say. And I was taken under the wing of a couple of good people that I met in London, and I didn't drink for 18 months, and that really opened up my mind and cleared things up for me. And I still went on a very long cycle. I cycled from London to Spain, and that was great. That was physically like an enormous relief for me, and it was like a pilgrimage. And it was through that cycle I realized that actually I wanted to go home to Ireland. So I was about 30 when I came back to Ireland.
And you're back here since?
I'm back here since, yeah. I moved to Cork, and I ended up studying, and I met my fiance Anna in Cork, and we now have a little baby together. And then I moved back to Kerry, not quite to Tralee, but I visit Tralee quite often now, and we live in Killarney now, so yeah, it felt like a full circle, nice joining of the circle after all those years. And my relationship with my past has changed now, you know.
You can face it.
I can definitely face it, yeah. I went through all the work required. I did all the counselling and the therapy, and I did all that kind of stuff just to really talk it through. But also writing the memoir was like doing all of that on turbo charge. And I really kind of, I suppose I faced the dark, and I can kind of see the light now. I dragged myself through the broken glass of my past, which is how I kind of feel about it. And then I realized I was still standing afterwards, and I mended any small wounds and grazes that I might have. And a lightness comes along after doing something like that. You know, in my mind and in my body, physically, mentally, things feel a bit better now, you know.
So this is a story of survival.
Yeah, I guess it is. That is, I felt like I was doing not much other than surviving from the age of about 20 to about 28, to be honest with you.
I didn't really feel like I was living,
yeah.
Yeah.
I had a lot of highs, of course, a lot of young, you know, living in my 20s, having a great laugh. But underneath it all, I was just surviving, to be honest with you. Yeah, so getting through that and figuring out how to live rather than just survive, was a very rewarding experience, actually. Yeah, and I feel like I'm doing a lot more than just surviving now. I'm definitely living.
You're thriving.
Yeah, I feel that way with my little boy, you know, and my Anna at home.
That's brilliant.
Yeah.
And why an audiobook, Richard?
Well, I love audiobooks. I'm a huge fan. I love podcasts. I have been kind of obsessed since they first came out 20 odd years ago. And I've listened to a couple of memoir audiobooks that really transported me. They became such an immersive experience for me. And I fly through them in a day or two. And I thought, wow, I could do that. You know, I wasn't so motivated by seeing my name on the spine of a book in a bookshop. I was more motivated by the idea of somebody listening to me as they're driving or jogging or doing some chores around the house or something like that. And I just thought I could do that. I could do that from home. So I decided to do it about 2 years ago, and I've enjoyed the process immensely. It's, you know, I've enjoyed the theatrical element, the performance. It's more of a performance than it is a reading. Like a one-man show almost in your ears. And and I wanted to give that to people. I wanted to give that experience to people.
And was it cathartic? Did it feel good to get it all out?
Yeah, it definitely did. Yes, it did. There was a realignment that occurred about my past, which was very cathartic. It was actually the positive memories that were upwelled, that were more profound, I think, than the sadder ones. Because I was so accustomed to the sad memories. So it was nice to be reminded of the beautiful ones.
Of the beautiful ones as well, now as well. The time has passed. And what's it like being back in Tralee now?
Strange. It is strange. But it's nice. It's nice. I brought my little boy to the playground in the town park a couple of times. And yeah, it was beautiful. My home might have been removed from Tralee, but now that I have Anna and Fionn, they are my home. So being able to bring them back to Tralee feels like home is in Tralee again, you know?
And do you think this book would be of use to people who are going through their own grief journey?
Well, I wrote it with somebody like me in mind. And I think if I had heard it 10 years ago, it definitely would have impacted me. So I like to think so. I hope so. But everybody's grief is different, so there's no way to know for sure. I suppose I wrote it just wanting to create something engaging and interesting. That was my goal. But if it helps people along the way,
and if
people can relate to it, all the better, absolutely. I mean, it is a memoir about me. It's a story about me. But I tried to tap into underlying humanity that we all have in common. So although it is about me, I like to think that it's kind of, there's a little bit of all of us in this story as well, you know?
And that was Richard Gordon there from Tralee talking about his memoir, which is entitled Memory Town. The Memory Town being a reference to Tralee itself. But the book is essentially about a journey through grief. And imagine what that would be like to be one of a family of four and to lose first your dad, then your only sibling, your older brother, and then your mom, all in the space of 4.5 years. Imagine the grief you would go through then. You'd hardly be over one death and the other would happen. And then unthinkably a third death of a close relative. So no wonder Richard had his period of not knowing who he was or what he was doing with his life and travelling and sort of wandering aimlessly. But he did find a way back. Life is good for him now. He has his own family. He's met Anna. He has their little boy, Fionn. And he's able to cope with all of that grief. And that memoir, again, is called Memory Town. You can get it on the social media platform Substack if you want to find out how to download it. And Richard also has his own website if you want to look it up. Richard Gordon Writes. Actually, sorry, no, that's not a website. It's how you find him on social media under Richard Gordon Writes. So we wish him loads of happiness in the future, and it was great to talk to him. Now,